This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are tuned into On The Ball, Money Control Sports Podcast. Team India had a great series of West Indies where they defeated the men in maroon in the T20, One Day and the Test Series. Virat Kohli's men now prepared to take on South Africa on home turf in 3-match T20I series, and following which they play South Africa in a Test Series. The Indian team for the T20 series and the Test Series have been declared. And to preview the T20 series, I have with me Gaurav Kalra, Network 18's Group Sports Editor. It's great to have you on the podcast, Gaurav.
It's great as always to be here, Prakhar.
So, Gaurav, Dhoni is missing from the squad. What is the situation with the former Indian captain? Do you think selectors have moved on from Dhoni, or is it time that Dhoni is about to announce his retirement?
Well, Prakhar, when it comes to a player's retirement, that is always that player's individual choice. You know, in his own mind, whether MS Dhoni believes that he can still play for India and still play at the highest level, that's a question that only he can answer. However, the selectors have a job to do, which is that not only pick the players that they imagine would do well in the matches that are coming up, but also try to build a team that will perform for the country in the long term. So now it seems that at least the selections that have happened after the World Cup for the limited over series in the West Indies, and now for this T20 series against South Africa, where the selectors haven't picked Dhoni, it feels to me like it is a line in the sand kind of moment, where they've said that, right, there was MS Dhoni was very much part of India's plans till the World Cup in England, but now with the T20 World Cup still a year away, when Dhoni will be 39, the selectors have decided that they are looking at younger options, and Rishabh Pant is their first choice. And if Rishabh Pant doesn't succeed, then perhaps they'll look at other choices like Ishan Kishan and Sanju Samson rather than go back to Dhoni.
Interesting. But on 12th September, the social media was abuzz speculating Dhoni's retirement. There was a tweet put out by Indian captain Virat Kohli as well, recalling that famous match between India and Australia back in 2016 in the T20 World Cup. So what was that buzz all about?
Well, to me, it felt like a typical social media storm. You know, there wasn't really much substance in it, or anything that suggested to me, at least, that Virat Kohli was anticipating MS Dhoni's retirement or anything of that kind. He may have felt nostalgic, and he may have had occasion to remember it in some way. Maybe he checked the highlights out on his phone or something and felt like he wanted to tweet that out. Who knows? However, I don't think that there was anything in there that seemed to suggest to me, at least, that there was a big announcement that was impending. Yes, it became really active on social media. A lot of people were seen tweeting about it and commenting on it and talking about it. But it's like many other things, it's quite typical on social media sometimes these days that things become much bigger than they actually are. And towards the end of the day, it just required that three-line tweet from Mrs. Dhoni, who said it's all rumors, and that ended the subject as it was. I think that when it comes, and see, MS Dhoni will retire at some stage or the other. He is 38 years old. Cricket or any international sport requires that a player walks away from it all. I think when he does that, either he will make the announcement himself on social media, or there will be a proper press conference called or an event held by the BCCI. I don't think it will happen in this haphazard manner that it was imagined on social media.
Surely, but as a Dhoni fan, I dread the day when Dhoni quits cricket.
Well, Prakhar, can I tell you that, when I was your age growing up, I was a big Sunil Gavaskar fan and I was a big Kapil Dev fan. And I grew up covering a lot of Sachin Tendulkar's cricket. They were all great players, but in sport, you must always remember that time in sport is a finite, perishable commodity. When you play, you get older, and when you get older, your powers decline and you move away from the game. When Kapil Dev retired, Sachin Tendulkar retired, at some stage Roger Federer will retire, and at some stage MS Dhoni will have to retire as well. So fans must learn that when players of this kind retire, it's not the end of the world, but it's an occasion to celebrate their contribution and the enjoyment you got out of watching them play.
I just hope that Federer and Dhoni doesn't retire in the same year. That's my only hope. Okay, shifting our focus back to the India-South Africa T20 series, Hardik Pandya returns to the Indian squad. Do you think he will immediately get a chance considering that he had a long layoff since the World Cup?
I think Hardik Pandya will definitely play in the T20 series simply because he offers India all the things that you need in a T20 game. He can bowl 4 overs, he's a very, very good fielder, and most importantly, this is something that India really need. He provides muscle, big hitting power. Now, that's an area that India's T20 team needs to look at closely, because besides Rishabh Pant and Hardik Pandya, towards the latter half of their innings or the middle order, there are several similar types of players. If you see Manish Pandey, Shreyas Iyer, players of this kind, even Virat Kohli, they are steady players who will never be in the same explosive kind of mode that you have Hardik Pandya and Rishabh Pant in. Rohit Sharma also takes his time, but then he really can explode if he bats through the innings. So I think Hardik Pandya is a critical member of the Indian T20 squad, and also that he's not been picked in the test squad. The signal there seems to be that they want to really preserve him for the limited overs matches so that he's completely ready to go in that T20 World Cup in 1 year time.
Okay, so you have spoken highly about Navdeep Saini.
Yes.
And he's in the squad as well, but he did not perform as great in Windies. Do you think he will be Virat Kohli's go-to bowler, considering that Khalil Ahmed and Deepak Chahar are also in the squad?
I think the reason why this T20 squad has been picked in the way that it has is India wants to look at several options. It was quite significant that Ravi Shastri, the Indian coach, had said recently that only 3 or 4 places in the Indian T20 team are for sure. Every other place is open for discussion. You would imagine he's saying Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli are sure, Jasprit Bumrah, who's resting from this series, they are sure. But everyone else is, they haven't quite nailed down their spots. So it's important for India to look at these bowlers, because you would imagine Jasprit Bumrah, even Bhuvneshwar Kumar, these are regulars in India's limited overs teams. These guys will walk in every time there's an opportunity. Guys like Kuldeep and Chahal are also sitting out. What this means is that they want to look at this young crop of fast bowlers, give them opportunities, give them 3, 4, 5 matches consecutively to play, and that will give them a fair idea of where they stand. So I think yes, Navdeep Saini, Deepak Chahar, Khalil Ahmed, for all three of them, this is a huge opportunity.
Okay, talking about India's opponent, South Africa, they have lost quite a few renowned players in recent past. There's no Dale Steyn, there's no Imran Tahir, Hashim Amla announced his retirement. So a lot of talent has drained out of the squad, and Right. They are coming with a very fairly young squad led by Quinton de Kock for the test matches, and also their regular T20 captain Fof du Plessis is absent for this too. So do you think it will be difficult for the Proteas?
Yes, short answer, definitely will be very, very difficult, because I think in Indian conditions a lot of these players will struggle. But T20 is the kind of format where one great performance, one sequence of 5 overs or one spell of 2 overs can change things around very, very quickly, because it's a game of such fine margins. I think from South Africa's point of view, it's very important that their main 2 big players have a good series with the bat, which is Quinton de Kock and David Miller. Those are the 2 most experienced players in this team. I think Razzy van der Dusen, we saw a little bit of him in the World Cup, has a lot of potential and quality. He'll be another player that one will be looking out for. And of course, Kagiso Rabada needs to have a good series. But I think from an experience point of view, they are really lacking in that department. And because they start underdogs, I think South Africa can go into this series saying they have absolutely nothing to lose and play with a bit of freedom. Again, for all teams, I think, Prakhar, the next year in T20 cricket is about identifying the players that they can take to that World Cup in Australia in a year's time. South Africa are doing the same exercise, hence you're seeing several of their younger players getting an opportunity.
Okay, talking about Kagiso Rabada, he seems to be fired up. His interviews, he has given out interviews saying that it is about time that I shoulder the responsibility of the South African squad. And given that he has had a fairly amount good success in T20 cricket, could he be the deciding factor?
I think he'll be a very important factor. He played a very big role for the Delhi Capitals in the IPL. He was the highest wicket taker in the IPL, held the purple cap, bowled exceptionally well
Imran Tahir by 1 wicket.
Yeah, he held it at one point, yes, in the yes, tournament. But the ability that Kagiso Rabada has, there's no question about that. Obviously, he had a little bit of an off time in the World Cup. He started well against India and then seemed to taper off a little bit. His speeds were down, but he's had rest. Since that World Cup, he hasn't played. So, yes, it's very important. So, they also think, Prakhar, that not only is it important for him to have a big series because he's the leading bowler, I think there's always competition going on between different types of players within a setup also, but also they are looking outside. Now, Kagiso Rabada till recently was imagined as the number one or the best bowler in the world. Now, there's a lot of other bowlers who are coming and claiming that. Pat Cummins is having a really good Ashes series and he's being seen as the best bowler in the world. Jasprit Bumrah, after his exploits in the West Indies, is being seen as the best bowler in the world. Jofra Archer has come through for England. So Kagiso Rabada suddenly looking around and saying, you know, there are so many bowlers in the world who are now claiming to be the best in the world. I must put my name in the ring as well. Like Ian Botham used to say when the four great all-rounders were playing at the same time, Kapil Dev, him, Imran Khan and Richard Hadley, that he would always look at the performances of the other three wherever they were playing in the world and mark himself up against that and want to outdo them. So I think that is the most important thing for Kagiso Rabada, that he wants to stay in this conversation and competition for being called the best fast bowler in the world. And if he can play a big role in South Africa winning this series, he'll go very far forward in that discussion.
Let's just discuss the India's test squad, which was announced yesterday. Now, Shubman Gill and Mayank Agarwal seem to be the definite openers. And KL Rahul has been dropped following his poor run in West Indies series. So, do you think it is about time? And MSK Prasad also said that he would want to see Rohit Sharma opening the batting. So, has the time finally come to promote Rohit Sharma in India's playing 11 in test as an opener, as a specialist opener?
Yes, I think that's what the management has decided to do and that's what the selectors have decided to do. I'm sure they've had discussions with Rohit Sharma as well because his test career really was going nowhere. You know, despite the fact that he has such immense quality about him as a batsman, the fact that he's had so much success. In fact, his numbers are better than Virat Kohli's in the last 4 years in one-day cricket. The fact that he does this job in white ball cricket, which is completely different to test match cricket, but the fact that he's used to coming out there and batting as an opener in one-day cricket with the experience he's had in that format, they want to make sure that this is not a career which ends without him realizing his full potential as a batsman, which is why now with the spots not available in the middle order, Hanuma Vihari coming good, Hardik Pandya being there, although he's not been named in the squad, but India can only play four specialist batsmen in the middle order, at best mostly three, with the fourth being an all-round option. So from that point of view, the only place really available for Rohit Sharma was at the top of the order. Now remember, Prakhar, this is really a gamble. It may not come off. He may not succeed, but he might have four or five test matches. If he doesn't succeed in these test matches, there are a lot of options for India to fall back on. Besides KL Rahul, who's a quality player, there is also Prithvi Shaw, who will come back. Shubman Gill, who's unlikely to open the batting immediately, but is now in the squad, so he's making a contention. Then, in the domestic circuit, there are Priyank Panchal and Abhimanyu Iswaran. So, there are players who are really in contention for this spot. So, Rohit Sharma will know that he needs to have success in these next three or four matches, because if he doesn't, then I think it'll be very difficult for him to come back into the Indian test mix.
Finally, how do you see the first two T20Is against South Africa panning out?
Very difficult to predict in this format. Like I said, you know, this is the kind of format where an individual can actually take the game away from you before you know it. I would like to see South Africa offer some competition. I think it will be good for the series as a whole if South Africa win one of the first two matches, because it would mean that the series gets off to a very, very competitive start. You don't want South Africa to come out there and be bowled out cheaply batting first, or India to come out there and get 220 and then keep South Africa down to 100 when they are batting. You want to see an competitive series, and T20 is the kind of format which allows for that. I would hope that we get to see some competitive games that go down to the last over, but India definitely start big favorites in this series.
Surely, let's hope for a really competitive T20 series.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers actionable investment ideas, independent research, insights and analysis from the world of business, economy, politics and policy. Get access to Money Control Pro at ₹599 for a year. Use code GETPRO. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball. If you have any feedback or any questions for Gaurav, please do send us a mail on mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, the email ID is mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for tuning in.